In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In 1994, the great Canadian singer-songwriter Leonard Cohen took monastic vows at the Buddhist monastery on Mount Baldy in California and became the personal assistant to the great Zen teacher Kyozan Joshu Sasaki, known more simply as Roshi, who died last month at the age of 107. Now, Cohen went to Mount Baldy seeking something he wasn't finding elsewhere, and when asked why a Jewish singer from Quebec would choose to study and work under a Japanese Buddhist monk in California, Cohen answered that Roshi gave him, quote, "the sense that I mattered supremely to him, or maybe that I supremely didn't matter." 7 years ago, an English priest by the name of Chad Vera died at the age of 95. You probably haven't heard of Father Vera, but you may have heard of the suicide prevention hotline he founded called the Samaritans. In counseling sessions with couples preparing for marriage and in other settings, Father Vera often claimed that the three most important words in the English language are, "it doesn't matter." Jewish songwriter turned Buddhist monk and the Anglican priest I've just quoted are both telling us that in this life, things matter supremely and supremely don't matter. In today's reading from the prophet Isaiah, we hear the same message of mattering supremely and supremely not mattering. Many of the verses from today's Old Testament reading suggest that the Lord is supremely interested in the transformation of this world, the bringing of justice to the earth. At the time that Isaiah was writing, the northern kingdom of Israel had been destroyed, and the southern kingdom of Judah, with Jerusalem as its capital, stood in fear of the Assyrian army. And Isaiah says that the Lord will comfort Zion and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Isaiah is telling the people that they matter, that their country matters to the Lord. And then Isaiah expands upon that to say that not only does the land of Israel matter, but the rest of the nations matter too. In verses 4 and 5, the Lord says, "For a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples." Isaiah is offering to his own people, and indeed the people of the entire world, a promise of justice and salvation from oppression. This world matters, and God will bring his salvation into this world. But in the final verse we hear today from Isaiah, we hear something that sounds very different. The text says, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment." Isaiah tells us that we should not fixate on the here and now. This is perhaps similar to what St. Paul says, "Do not be conformed to this world." This is supremely not mattering, because God promises something more than what we experience in the here and now when he says, "My salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended." But aren't these two approaches of supremely mattering and supremely not mattering mutually exclusive? How do we go through our lives knowing that who we are and what we do matters and at the same time doesn't matter? The second and third verses of today's passage from Isaiah seem to point away. He says, "Look at the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, But I blessed him and made him many. I blessed him and made him many. Now, on a literal level, this refers to the many descendants of Abraham who are the entire nation of Israel. But on a spiritual level, I believe we can understand being blessed and made many to be about the widening of identity and concern. When someone comes to understand himself as not simply a completely autonomous individual who is only concerned with his own well-being and happiness, but being made many, as being connected to other human beings and indeed all of creation, his concern will also widen to include all of God's creation. When we're able to follow spiritually Abraham's example of being made many, we will begin to live by Christ's words in the 6th chapter of Matthew when he says, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" He gives us a message very similar to what we hear from Isaiah today when Jesus says, "Strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." After all, Isaiah says right there in the opening verse that that's who he's addressing, those who seek to build up the kingdom. He says, "Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness." If you've invested a sum of money in the stock market and you panic when on any given day the market goes down, well, you're in for a heck of a ride. But if you take the long view, with the vantage point of a few decades, things look a lot different. They look smoother and in the right direction. And things begin to look very different indeed if you invest in this life, not only in and for yourself, but being made many, you invest yourself in the greater good. Life then becomes more than every single daily failure or triumph. You will then understand what it is that supremely doesn't matter, and what matters supremely. Amen. Let us stand for the nice.